Hey, everybody. I'm Karen Hartkless, and we are back. Thank you for joining me today. It's April 9th, 2013, and it's such a beautiful day here in New York. I hope it's beautiful where you are. I'm a little hesitant to start the next part of the show because we're going to be talking about my favorite subject, food, and I'm feeling a little hungry. So here we go. I'm going to torture myself for a while. I'm going to bring on Anjali Shah. She's the Picky Eater. She's a food writer, health coach, and owner of The Picky Eater, a healthy food and lifestyle blog. Anjali Shah grew up a whole wheat girl, but married a white bread kind of guy. Hoping to prove that nutritious food could, in fact, be delicious and desirable, she taught herself how to cook and successfully transformed her husband's eating habits from a diet of frozen pizzas and Taco Bell to her healthy yet flavorful recipes made with simple, wholesome ingredients. Through her blog, The Picky Eater, Anjali shares her passion for healthy, tasty cooking. Yum! Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think you need to take over the entire country.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You started with your husband and you figured out how to get him to eat more healthfully, and now the rest of the country awaits.
Yeah, you know, I have sort of experimented on him because he's sort of the classic, you know, fast food lover and didn't think that healthy food could ever taste good. And so once I started sort of sneaking in healthy ingredients into recipes that he loved, he came around. So I'm hoping that through my blog, the rest of the country can do the same.
Well, I love the name The Picky Eater, because it's such a fun play on words. And I like the idea of kind of changing the feeling of what the picky eater means. It shouldn't mean someone who only likes to eat certain kinds of foods, whether they're healthy or not. It should be all of us really being selective in what we eat and choosing the best foods for us. Why shouldn't we be picky?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the traditional sort of notion of what a picky eater is, you know, the little kid who only wants ice cream for dinner. And, you know, I don't see why we can all be picky about what we put into our bodies, and just choose things that are better for us and be picky in a good way. So it is a play on words, because I would say my husband's a picky eater in the more traditional sense, and I'm a picky eater in the less traditional sense. So
now your bio says that you grew up a whole wheat girl. So you were raised in a family that believed in healthy eating?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I think my parents were kind of like hippies, and you know, we always had super wholesome, healthy ingredients in our house. I didn't even know what packaged food was until I went to, you know, a friend's sleepover, when I discovered, you know, like Pop-Tarts and like frozen pizzas and all kinds of delicious things that may not be the most healthy for you. So
okay, so how is it you didn't rebel against your parents?
I did for a time. Mm-hmm. When I would go to friends' houses and things, I would certainly indulge. And when I went to college, I definitely, you know, quote unquote, fell off the wagon. But eventually I realized that, you know, the way that I was raised and the type of food that we would eat at home was really the type of food that made me feel the best. And so eventually I sort of ended up coming back, you know, to what I grew up with and the food that I ate at home. And even when I was a kid, you know, I would rebel by going when I was at my friends' houses, but then when I was at home, the only choices that were available to me were healthy ones. So it made it kind of hard to do that even as a child.
You know, that's such an important thing that you just said, and people should really hear it. For parents that struggle with feeding their children well, one of the first really important steps is to not have any crap in your house, to eat healthfully and not have any other, have the wrong choices.
Yeah, exactly. I like to say that if the temptation isn't in front of you, you will be much less likely to find it. So, you know, in my house, I'll have my little treat, which is my dark chocolate covered almonds in one of the cabinets. But in general, I keep the rest of the house pretty healthy. And so if I really, really want that chocolate chip cookie, or I really, really want that pastry, then I have to go out and buy it for myself. And then I have that one time when I get to indulge, but it's not something that happens all the time.
Right. Well, you know, I like to cook a lot, and if there's, I can make anything. So if I don't have it, I could always make it, which is kind of a scary danger. But, you know, if I want a cake or cookies, I can make it. And I don't mind cooking. A lot of people want that instant gratification. They don't want to have to make anything, so they just buy the stuff. But you write that you taught yourself how to cook. So did you not help prepare the healthy meals? Were you at home when you were younger, or did you come up with a new kind of cuisine?
Both. When I was younger, I definitely was not a helper in the kitchen. I did sort of the cleanup and the chores afterwards, but I was never involved in the actual preparing the food process. And so after I got married, I actually didn't even know how to use a can opener. I had a really embarrassing experience when I tried to make enchiladas and I could not open the can of beans. So so I was, you know, at the very, very end of the spectrum of what a novice cook would be. And, you know, eventually after eating the same meal for 2 weeks, because it was the only thing that, you know, I could make, which was like veggie burgers, not even from scratch, I realized that this was not something that could go on. And so I just started looking up recipes online and trying new things and learning how to use kitchen tools. And then I started recreating some of the recipes that I had, you know, learned at home. But then I started making my own up to satisfy sort of my husband's picky taste.
Well, you know, what you went through, except learning how to cook, all the part about growing up and not knowing how to cook or prepare healthy meals, and that's what most Americans do today. Most Americans don't know where their kitchen is. They don't know how to prepare food, and it's just a part of our culture today because food has become so inexpensive and you can get it so cheaply in fast food restaurants and even higher-end restaurants, and the incentive is not there for most people to prepare their own food.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really hard because, cooking can be very intimidating. Figuring out sort of what things to put together that'll actually taste good in the kitchen seems like a super overwhelming task. I remember feeling the exact same way when I first started cooking. And then you spend, you know, an hour in the kitchen and then it turns out not so great, and then you feel like you wasted all that time. So I can certainly empathize with the process and what that's like. And of course, it's so much easier to go out and just buy something from, you know, your nearest restaurant or just some sort of takeout to satisfy that because you're hungry and you want to eat. So what I like to tell people is to try to start cooking when they're not hungry. So start at like 4 or 5 when you probably aren't going to starve if your dish doesn't turn out well by 6 p.m. And do a little bit of experimentation, and along the way you'll realize that it's actually not that hard. And a lot of meals you can make in 20 minutes or less, and so, you know, that's almost as fast as it would be to drive someone to pick something up and drive back home.
No, it's faster. It's even faster to then making a phone call and calling in for delivery.
Right.
You know, it's not hard to make food. Now, your husband went along with all of this?
Well, he sort of didn't have a choice because I took control of the grocery shopping and he hates going to the grocery store, so that was an easy win.
Okay, this may be an obvious question, but why do you want to eat the way you eat?
I guess it is an obvious question, but at the same time, you know, a lot of people want to be healthy, but, you know, also struggle with some of the treats and junkier things that taste really great. So, for me, what I realized after just, you know, even just a month of eating much healthier home-cooked meals, you know, organic food, I started feeling better. I had, you know, some digestive issues in the past, and those started going away, and I just realized that what I put into my body really affected how I felt and the energy levels I had and my general happiness. So it's after, you know, realizing that, it just seemed like so much more worth it to put the effort in to eating healthy. But once you, until you have that change, you feel like you feel fine and you don't really realize how much better you could feel.
Yeah, I like to say you don't know how good you can feel until you're eating healthfully. The thing is that in our culture here in the United States, our culture of people on the standard American diet, a very, very, very bad, unhealthy diet, most people, if they're going to turn around and change their diet, don't do it until they're in a health crisis, they're older, they've gained too much weight, they really are feeling bad. And so I'm happy to see younger people interested in health. And the motivation isn't necessarily there for younger people other than maybe wanting to really keep a slim figure, because the human body is amazing at how forgiving it is for a very long time.
That is very true.
You could be in your 20s and early 30s and really trash your body, and you just keep going, and it doesn't really hit you.
Right, and then when it does, it might be too late, or,
yeah,
you know, or you just may be too used to the lifestyle from you've been doing for the past 30 or some odd years, and it's really hard to make a change even if you want to. So I absolutely agree. I think starting young is the best thing that you can do, starting with kids, teaching kids how to cook, getting them in the kitchen, teaching them how to grow vegetables in their garden, getting them excited about eating healthy. You know, really makes a difference, because the way that I was raised, even though I ended up sort of deviating from the path, I naturally came back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to instill those values and the knowledge, actually, about food and health at a young age.
Okay, so you may or may not know this, but I am a vegan, and I promote eating all plant foods. And the power, we know that most our greatest power, our greatest nutrients come from plant foods. And people need to be eating more plant foods, whether they choose to be vegetarian, vegan, or not. Plant foods are so, so important. And you have a lot of recipes on your site, and a lot of them are vegan.
Yeah, I'm actually vegetarian. I am totally with you about plant foods being healthier, and about them being more nutritious on a number of levels. I think, you know, there are some meats out there that have benefits, like fish, for example, in terms of the omega-3s, but general, you can
it's
still
debatable.
Get that from plant foods.
We can debate that one, but I don't want to do that right now. well, you know, we hear it all the time from the media and from some doctors and nutritionists about how certain foods are healthy, and I just don't agree with a lot of what some people say, and unfortunately I don't think they know what they're talking about, but you know, some of them have credentials and that makes people think that they do. But were you raised vegetarian? Did your hippie parents raise you vegetarian?
Yeah, they did. It was interesting. My dad never ate meat. My mom would only eat chicken, turkey, and fish. So I guess she was like a white meat in the white meat group. And then my brother,
I call them the
everything.
Feathered vegetables and the scaly vegetables.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And then my brother eats everything.
Wow.
And I sort of ended up, I did eat like chicken, turkey, and fish when I was growing up, but then when I went to college, I actually went vegetarian, just because once you start hearing about sort of the treatment of animals, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, how your brother went a different way.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting because he's still really health conscious, but he totally eats meat and, you know, everything that comes along with that.
Yeah. So you have a really nice following on your blog, and people seem really appreciative of what you're doing. What are some of the really good responses that you've got from your recipes and your spin on food?
I think the most rewarding responses that I've gotten have been from you know, moms trying to prepare healthy meals for their kids or dads trying to prepare healthy meals for their kids or for their families in general, who have, and someone in their family has maybe struggled with, you know, high blood pressure or high cholesterol or, you know, certain other issues. And they've actually been able to change their lifestyle and the way that they eat by using my recipes because they find that my recipes actually taste good to them. And so they're able to follow, just sort of use my blog as a recipe book and follow along. And it's incredibly rewarding when I get a message from a reader who has been able to transform my life with the help of my recipes, or transform their lives with the help of my recipes. Kind of amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And that's, it's amazing because it's so simple. And it really does, we know it doesn't take much, but food can really be so powerful. In two ways, what we don't put into our bodies that can be harmful and what we do put into our bodies that can really nourish us. And there's those two things both go on. And the results are quick in terms of when we stop eating what we shouldn't be eating and when we start eating what we should be eating, the body reacts really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so magical.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think I read a study about when they had, you know, they basically did a test on, you know, a bunch of participants, and they had them drink soda and eat junk food for 2 weeks straight, and they measured sort of the change in their, you know, in their cholesterol levels and their glucose and everything after only 2 weeks. And they were originally just very healthy eaters, and there was an incredible spike in all of the bad things. And that was just after 2 weeks.
Right.
So
well,
we
saw something like that in that movie, Super Size Me, and that was a month of eating all really bad foods, what happened to Morgan Spurlock.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But for some people, they can really feel the difference just in a meal or a day. And I just want, you know, I'm glad you're out there doing what you're doing because we need so many people just helping people get through. I don't know what it is, but there's something that makes it difficult to move over to feeding ourselves well and wanting to feel good.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of misinformation out there, and it can be incredibly confusing because, you know, you go to the grocery store and you walk down an aisle and every box in the aisle has something like whole grains and organic and natural and all these labels that actually don't mean anything until you actually look at the nutrition label
right.
on the box.
No.
But people don't know. I mean, it's so hard unless you read articles and you're trained in nutrition like I am, and how would you know? I mean, it's so incredibly confusing. So, you know, I just think that's sort of the way this country has evolved. And if you just think about, I mean, Michael Pollan, right? Eat real food, not too much, mostly plants or something, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah. I think he actually, I'm not sure of this, but I think he took that from Jack DeLaLanne's expression, if man made it, don't eat it.
Oh, interesting.
But Jack DeLaLanne, he's from a long time ago, so don't expect you to know who he is.
No, I've actually heard of him. I watched a video of his in one of my training classes.
Oh, good. Yeah, he
was
very, very inspirational, and he passed a few years ago. So I was going to ask you, you said you have a background in nutrition?
I studied, I took some classes in nutritional science at UC Berkeley when I was getting my degree in economics and business, and then I also am certified as a health coach through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition.
So
so it's been really great so far.
And do you plan on doing more than your blog with food?
Yeah, I mean, eventually I would like to, you know, grow my health coaching practice and help people volunteer at various places and just sort of help to spread the word about healthy eating because I just don't think that there's enough resources out there that are easy to access and free or at least very, very cheap.
Right.
So, So, yeah, that's ultimately where I want to go or what I want to do.
I'm all for that. Easy access and free.
Exactly.
No, it's a challenge because you want to provide things, and a lot of people want to provide their services, but we all have to survive and make a living, so there's that balance.
Right, exactly. I'm lucky enough to have a full-time job, so I'm able to do this as sort of a service. I'm just lucky to have both.
Yeah. So do you think you're going to have a cookbook come out at some point, anything like that?
Yeah, that's the plan, actually. I'm working on a cookbook right now with recipes, some of the recipes from my blog that are expanded and some that aren't, to give people something a little extra.
Okay, that sounds great. I wanted to tell you, actually I want to tell everybody, so while you're here I'll tell you too, because you're in the San Francisco area, but I have a nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and we have an event in San Jose on Earth Day, not too far from San Francisco, and you can find out more about it at swingandgourmets.com. That's one G in the middle, swingandgourmets.com. But we're doing a musical cabaret about healthy food. And it's going to be really fun. It's on Earth Day, which is also my birthday.
Oh, happy early birthday.
And because I like to make eating fun. And, you know, as a vegan, I talk about all of the bad things that go on in the world, how factory farming is so cruel and is so bad for the environment, and how people really struggle with food, and so many people have illnesses. And, you know, I really don't like to focus on all of that. It's unpleasant. It's dark. And I like to talk about how healthy food can bring a good life. It can bring joy and the light. And so one of the things that we're doing is doing this show because it's fun, and maybe it'll help some people get the message about healthy eating in a different way rather than being lectured to.
Yep. Yeah, so, exactly.
So that's coming up very soon, a couple of weeks, actually.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll try to make it out. I mean, that's not too far from my home.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
Okay, Anjali, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I really appreciate it, and I love what you're doing, and I'm definitely going to try some of your luscious recipes.
Thank you so much for having me, and yes, let me know how you like them.
And your husband, he sounds like a lucky guy.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Anjali Shaw.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So you can check out her blog at pickyeaterblog.com, The Picky Eater. Okay, I just wanted to remind you, as I was saying, it is 2 weeks away, the Swingin' Gourmets Happy Birthday Review. And if you do live in the Bay Area, please come. I want to meet you, and it's going to be really fun. And if you don't live in the Bay Area but you know someone who does, spread the word. And if you can't do either of those, the Swing Gourmets will come to your town. So just send me an email at info@realmeals.org and we can talk about it. Okay? Have a very, very delicious week. Bye-bye.